You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bage, host of The Entrepreneurs. Tessa Clark is the CEO and co-founder of Olio, the platform fighting food waste in more than 49 countries. It is the first app created to allow neighbors to share food, which might otherwise go to waste. Since launch back in 2015, more than 3.6 million portions of food have been shared by almost 2 million people. The company also has a dedicated network of what it calls food waste heroes, who volunteer to pick up food from local businesses to share with the community. And as we'll hear from Tessa, in this difficult time with many businesses closed down because of the coronavirus pandemic, the company has never been busier. They've had an overwhelming amount of calls from businesses now looking to redistribute surplus food. And with so many children out of school, many who would otherwise get a meal at school, Olio has organized a campaign called Cook for Kids, where they've asked celebrity chefs to prepare meals for families, which are then safely delivered to their door. Here now is Tessa.
We certainly find ourselves in this very ironic and painful situation where on the one hand we have supermarket shelves that are stripped bare and people are unable to get an online delivery for often several weeks, and on the other hand we have millions of people living within our communities who are worrying about how they're going to access food, and then we also have businesses that have had to close down as a result of coronavirus, who find themselves with enormous quantities of food that is at risk of going off. And so Olio is a food sharing platform. So essentially we're an app that connects people who have food they don't want or need with their neighbors living nearby who would like it. And we've had kind of two main responses to what's going on. The first is via our Food Waste Heroes program. So we have over 7,000 volunteers who are trained to safely collect and redistribute surplus food from businesses. So we've been inundated by requests from restaurants and cafes and bakeries and corporate canteens that have all closed down and found themselves with the surplus food, and our volunteers have been busy rescuing and redistributing that. And then the other aspect of what we've been doing is working really hard to encourage everyday people to share their spare from their homes out with their neighbors via the Olio app.
And what is the response to that? Because I know in normal times people are really keen to be on this, but right now a lot of people don't really want to be near each other in a sense. So how are they responding to that? And are people still engaging on this?
Yeah, so we've been really pleasantly surprised to see that since coronavirus has started and lockdown has started, our amount of neighbor-to-neighbor sharing has actually gone up by 20%. And the reason for that, I think, is twofold. So first, we have been very, very clear about how to share safely in accordance with the government guidelines. And so specifically, every share needs to be using a no-contact pickup, which essentially means the person who's giving away the item pops it outside a few moments before the person who requests it comes by to pick it up. We're also requiring that people who go to pick up items only do so as part of their restricted activities, so as part of their daily exercise or a pre-existing trip to a supermarket or pharmacy. And we've got additional kind of guidelines about how to ensure that you can share safely. And then I think people are sort of much like we are here at Olio, they are watching the news, they're seeing what's happening, and they're recognizing that many of their neighbors are struggling to get access to food at this time. And that might be because they're a vulnerable member of the population. It might be because they're a key worker or an NHS frontline staff who are just not able to access food in the shops as flexibly as the rest of us. And also, it might be that they're a family, a low-income family that used to benefit from school meals that are no longer available. And I think people are very aware of how much need there is in their local community. They're trapped at home. They want to do something positive. They want to do their bit and make a difference. And sharing their spare food with a neighbor via Olio is a really easy way to do that.
Now, I want to come into the school meals because I know the platform is doing something really interesting around that. But first, I'm just curious to hear about how quickly you guys transitioned to take on all these requests that you're getting, you mentioned, because in essence, you're already set up to do this. But just the amount of people you're having reaching out to, that must be overwhelming. But you guys seem to have transitioned quite quickly.
We have. I mean, I think that's one of the things about being a relatively small early stage startup is you do have an ability to move incredibly quickly. And so we have generally responded within 12 to 24 hours of each new government update, and that has required incredible sort of commitment and dedication from the team. But we've all been really, really motivated to make it happen, because we know that there are people out there depending upon us for food, and there are businesses that have enormous quantities of food that would otherwise be thrown away. And so we've just been desperate to move as quickly as possible to make sure that no food is wasted and people get fed instead.
Tessa, you mentioned listening to the updates in government guidelines. This new reality and strange time has just been sprung upon people so quickly. So we're having to deal with things, I think, day to day. And for small business owners, that's doubly concerning as well, thinking about their own health and safety, but also employees and how they're going to pay everyone and keep the lights on and keep everything going. But you guys have transitioned really fast. And another thing that you've done, and with one of the later updates that came when schools were closed, is you started getting people involved to cook meals for people. Can you tell us about that? This involves some high-profile chefs, I think.
Yeah, so the government announced on a Wednesday evening that the schools would be closing that Friday after school. And so on the Thursday morning, I was preparing breakfast for my kids and talking to them about the fact that school was going to be closing. You know, the next day was going to be their last day at school for a while. And as part of that conversation over breakfast, they asked me, well, what about the kids that rely upon the free school meals? Because this is something we've kind of spoken about before as a family. And I suddenly realized, God, you know, good point, good question. What is going to happen to those kids? And I did some Google research and found out that there's 1.3 million children from low-income households that depend upon that school meal. And that sort of got me thinking, and I realized that actually we have an amazing opportunity to provide a service really to our local communities if we could galvanize our Olio users. So we have 1.8 million people who are part of the Olio community. So if we can galvanize those people and get them cooking or preparing meals, and they can add them to the app so that local families can pick them up and therefore have access to food that they would otherwise have depended upon the school for, then that would be a great thing that we could do. And that went from being an idea sort of that Thursday morning to, it was about 26 hours later, we had launched that campaign. And we, at that point of launch, I think we'd got 5 celebrity chefs involved. Today, we now have 15, who include Hugh Fernie Whittingstall, Melissa Hemsley, James Martin, Thomasina Myers. So we've had sort of great support from the chef community. And we're encouraging those chefs to provide us with recipes to inspire people for what to cook or prepare for these kids. They've all kind of given us a quote of support, and they're also helping spread the word on social media. But a really critical part actually of enabling us to move that fast is, first of all, we have a daily cross-functional team meeting that's just about COVID-19. And we put that in place at the very beginning of this. And then we also have a WhatsApp sort of chat channel, which is just about COVID-19. And so we were able to communicate really, really fast during that kind of 24-hour period that it took us to get the campaign from inception to live.
That is fantastic. It's such an interesting time now that we're at home, spending all this time at home where we're not really used to. And I guess it's also getting people thinking about what they're using, what they're eating, how much they need. And for you guys in the messaging and the platform that you have, I guess that's a good opportunity at the same time as this being a strange time to operate through. Is that fair?
It is. And what we are sort of trying to kind of point out is that there is no shortage of food. We have more than enough food to feed everybody. We have more than enough toilet roll for everybody. But the problem is, it's not evenly or fairly distributed. An awful lot of it is actually kind of trapped in our homes. So more than ever, we're really encouraging people, you are stuck at home, kind of in lockdown, this is a great opportunity to do all those things you've maybe been meaning to do, but have perhaps put off. So kind of go through your cupboards, go through your drawers, and share out your food and other household essentials that a neighbor could really need at this point in time. And people seem to have responded really well to that, because it's not only something to do with your time, it's also incredibly fulfilling to know that you're just making a bit of a difference to someone else's life and helping them.
I know you mentioned you have a load of volunteers and people that are putting food and meals up on the platform, but I'm just curious about the team and how you guys are working through this. Obviously, you probably normally have an office and are now working apart. So how are you finding that, trying to get this going and keep the momentum and having to work really fast? How's that working for you guys?
Well, actually, we don't have an office. So we've been a remote first company since day one. So we've been operating this way for 5 years without an office, and we're a team of approximately 30 people. So for us, actually, it hasn't required that much adaptation at all, because we are used to working completely flexibly and remotely. But we have actually been spending quite a bit of time sharing with other startups and other businesses the things that we've learned over the past 5 years about how to effectively do that, so that they can hopefully learn as quickly as possible and not make some of the same mistakes that we did along the way.
That's brilliant. In this time when a lot of people are trying to figure that out, how to keep the team engaged, how to keep people inspired and working on the mission, which is ever changing, right? We're having to take things on day to day, as we've said. But what would be your advice for people who are trying to sort of keep everyone connected?
I think something that's absolutely essential is having some form of chat communication channel. So we're a small group, so we use WhatsApp, but there are other platforms that are better for if you're operating at scale, such as Slack, for example. And that's really, really critical for the sense of company camaraderie and morale. And there are two techniques that we use that really sort of help amplify that channel. The first is that every Monday morning, our analytics manager posts some Monday motivation, which is always kind of an interesting stat or data point or visual, which shows something kind of great that we've achieved the week before. And that's a really, really nice way to set the week up with some positivity. And it also reminds everyone of what we're working towards. And then we close out the week on a Friday with what we call our Fri-yay question, which is posed by my co-founder, Sasha. And that is, you know, can be a whole variety of questions from sort of, you know, if you were, you know, what would be your favorite sandwich and why, or what three things would you take to a desert island, or what habit have you kept from your childhood? What's your favorite place on earth? Who inspires you most? Those sorts of questions, which are really, really fun because everybody gets involved in answering them, and it gives you an insight into sort of the team more broadly, and there's a great opportunity for banter and humor and stuff like that. So I think sort of having an active chat channel is really important. And then there's lots of important details around how to run meetings remotely, which tools to use, and important etiquette points as well about, for example, how to optimize the use of Zoom. And then there's a lot of other kind of detailed stuff around recruitment and onboarding and ongoing management of people. There's quite a bit of kind of devil in the detail to make sure that it works properly. But we find that the upshot of all of that is that remote working can be incredibly powerful, incredibly effective, and can lead to really, really high morale in your team.
I think a lot of people will be thinking about exactly these things going forward and what is the most effective way to work and communicate. Of course, it's always best to be face-to-face or to be able to connect in person, but where that's not possible, I guess it's great to just communicate. I guess a lot of people are saying to me just how important it is to connect to each other.
Well, I would slightly sort of challenge that assumption that it's always best to communicate face-to-face, because actually what we've discovered through building Olio as a remote-first business for 5 years is that arguably our quality of communications are higher than if we were to be based in an office. And that is because transparency happens by default, because we have to work that bit harder to communicate properly, to document everything. And the flexibility and autonomy that each team member receives as a result of being able to work from home is very, very powerful in terms of motivation and performance. And there are some activities, for example, that even I am a sort of massive advocate of remote first working. I had thought, for example, that you just had to be face to face to go through design work for the latest version of the app. And then we discovered the Envision design tool, which is a collaborative design tool, and that is actually far superior designing together remotely than it is designing together in the same room. So I think we're all going to discover that some of these assumptions that we had don't necessarily stand up when they're under pressure.
Tessa, just lastly on leadership, I'm just curious about how you are working through this yourself. You said you've got your kids at home and you've got these new initiatives and you guys are extremely busy. So how has this been for you personally?
Oh, gosh, what a great question. a bit all over the shop, to be honest. It's been a sounds like a cliche, but a complete roller coaster. I've sort of battled against the sort of feeling of being restricted and having stuff imposed upon me like everybody else, and wondered and worried how it's going to work, through to feeling really elated when I think of sort of what Olio can do to uniquely help people through this difficult time. I also definitely suffer a little bit through some anxiety that comes through just really understanding just how difficult this time is for others who are in a much worse position than myself, not only within the UK, but as I look to other countries. And so that's quite sort of hard, because I might be feeling a bit sorry for myself, and then I realize how much more difficult it is for others, and then I feel bad for feeling sorry for myself, and it can all get a bit confusing. But broadly, I'm an optimistic person, so I'm trying to look for all the positives that exist in this, and there are plenty if we look for them.
Very well said. Tessa, thank you for your time. This has been great.
My pleasure.
Tessa Clark, the co-founder and CEO of Olio. My thanks to Tessa for coming on the show to share her story. You can find out more about the company and its food waste initiatives at oleox.com. Thanks as well to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.